Chapter 19. This time, Rachel Lorimer was incandescent with rage. But anticipating this reaction, Jackman had made a PC drag a magistrate out of bed and issue a search warrant for the whole place and the motorhome.
"Did Ezra talk to you last night, Mrs. Lorimer?" Robbie asked urgently. "He had something very important to tell you."
"What are you talking about? I never even saw Ezra last night."
Rachel was almost jumping up and down in her fury.
"Rachel, calm down." Marie stepped forward. "This really is important. Ezra promised to speak to you. There was something he wanted you to know about before we came knocking on your door."
She looked intently at Rachel.
"He's done something that could get your sons into a lot of hot water, do you understand?"
Rachel's expression was stony.
"And what has he done, exactly?"
"First, we need to see him. Do you want to come with us?"
Marie asked.
"Too right, I do,"
Rachel said through gritted teeth. Two uniformed officers were already stationed outside the motorhome. Jackman stepped forward and rapped hard on the door.
"Ezra Lorimer, police, open up, please."
Getting no answer, Robbie walked around to the front and tried the driver's door.
"Lock, sir, and there's a screen pulled down over the windows."
Jackman went to call out again, but Rachel Lorimer got there first.
"Cousin Ezra, get yourself out here this minute!"
Silence. A pigeon flapped its wings. Ezra, too, had flown.
"Break in,"
Jackman called out to one of the police constables. The lock was easily cracked, and Jackman wrenched the door back. Marie peered inside. No sign of Ezra Lorimer. His clothes were still there, and nothing appeared to have been taken, but the man himself was gone.
"We need to talk, Rachel. Can you get the family together?"
Marie looked at her rather sadly.
"Your cousin has caused your sons a lot of damage, and you need to know the truth."
Rachel turned her back and stalked towards the farmhouse, yelling out her children's names, her face set and grim. It took around 10 minutes for them to assemble, in varying stages of undress, but all with the same expression on their faces. Sheer terror. Rachel sat ramrod straight in an old armchair and looked at each of her children in turn.
"So which one of you bunch of blockheads is going to tell me what's been going on?"
"Let me speak first." Jackman stepped forward. "We need to explain a few things before you start apportioning blame. These young people have been conned by your cousin into believing that what he told them to do would benefit you." Heads nodded frantically at this.
"Explain?"
As Jackman told her, Rachel's anger slowly dissipated, and an expression of intense hurt began to spread across her face. When Jackman had finished, she sighed and said,
"I still cannot believe that he took them all in like that."
She stared at them incredulously.
"How could you be so gullible? Jacob, I can understand, but as for the rest of you... Even you, Levi?"
"I believed him, Ma."
"Gillian," Levi's young wife said softly.
"You made him welcome here, Mother. You said he was good to us. Why should we doubt him? It's no wonder my Levi believed him."
Levi's mouth dropped open. He stared at his wife in awe. Rachel appeared to deflate. She said nothing.
"I suggest that everyone goes and gets dressed," said Jackman. "Rachel, we have to talk about Ezra. Is that okay with you?"
She nodded.
"And don't leave here," Jackman said to the departing family members. "I'm afraid you'll have to ring your place of work, Levi. We need to talk to you all individually, and it could take some time."
No one argued, all of them obviously thankful to escape the heavily charged atmosphere of that room.
"Have you any idea where Ezra has gone?" asked Marie.
"None whatsoever. And as my car is still where he left it last night, I'm not sure how he went either."
"The boys have a Land Rover, don't they? Maybe he took that."
Rachel went over to the window.
"All our cars are still here."
She turned to Marie and Jackman, frowning.
"Why are you so interested in what my boys have done? It's small stuff, isn't it, compared to what you have going on in the town? Come on, what's really going on?"
Jackman said, "We think Ezra might be one of the few people who is able to identify a killer we're after. We have to find him."
"I see."
Rachel sat back down.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Tell us everything you know about Ezra. Even the smallest detail could help us.
Jackman and Marie sat facing her.
We were great friends when we were small, and I mean very small. Toddlers, really. Then his family moved away, but we kept in touch. Ezra was always kind to me. He remembered Christmas and birthdays when no one else did, and always sent a card.
We wrote, detectives. I know people don't do that very often now, but every month I'd get a letter, and I'd reply. Things have been tough, money-wise. We have no mobile phones, and a long call on the phone is a luxury. For the price of a stamp, I kept up my friendship with my cousin.
Marie guessed that there hadn't been many people who'd been good to Rachel along the way.
"Did he visit often?" asked Jackman.
"Never. This was the first proper visit in decades. That's why we were so pleased to see him. It lifted my heart, it did, to finally see him in the flesh."
Marie took out her pocketbook. "Is this his address, Rachel?"
She looked at it.
"No, that's his old address. He hasn't been there for years."
She stood up.
"I'll get it for you."
A few moments later, she returned with a scrap of paper.
"This is it. 40 Cold Harbour, Windy Ridge Park, Kirk Hamby, near Hull. It's a static caravan park, or so he told me."
Marie thanked her. At a swift look from Jackman, she called it into the station, asking the local officers to call there and keep calling in case he returned home.
"You say you didn't see him last night, Rachel. Why was that?"
Marie asked. She frowned.
"Actually, it was odd now you mention it. He'd done a big shop for me, but when you lot turned up, he left everything in the car. Esther and Noah unloaded it in case anything spoiled. He'd brought the makings of a lovely dinner, so I cooked it, but he didn't come to eat. I sent Esther over, but she said he never opened the door."
"Was she sure he was in there?" asked Jackman.
"Oh, yes. She heard him moving about. He called out that he had things to do and he was tired, and that was that."
"What time was that?"
"Around 10:30. It was too late to eat, really. But after all the malarkey with that horse and coppers all over the place, we needed food."
She glowered at Jackman.
"Thanks to you, I ended up with indigestion."
Jackman stood up. "We need to talk to the family, Rachel. But we are fully aware that they've been tricked. The worst part of it is that we suspect guns were stolen on Ezra's say-so. And that will be impossible to overlook. Nevertheless, we'll do our best for your kids, I promise." Outside, Jackman took a long breath of fresh air.
"That was bloody unpleasant. Damned Ezra. He's really damaged that family."
Marie didn't answer. She was thinking about Rachel and Ezra, the toddlers, about how close they were, and how he never forgot a birthday. Then he pays a rare visit and causes mayhem through his wish to provide for the family and help them, and now, leaving the family to pick up the pieces, he does a runner.
"Marie? Earth calling?"
Jackman was staring at her.
"Sorry, boss, I'm just trying to make sense of Ezra Lorimer."
"You'd have to put a week aside for that one. Meanwhile, we need to find out exactly what he asked Paul to do."
She shook her head to clear it.
"Yes, of course. I suggest we talk to Levi first. Paul can be, well, a bit mercurial."
They didn't have to wait many minutes for Levi to emerge, still tousled hair but now dressed. In his jeans and denim shirt, he looked like a giant naughty schoolboy.
"I've got to tell you everything, don't I?"
Jackman nodded.
"Afraid so, Levi. And if you tell us of your own free will, it will be better for you."
"Come into the kitchen. Ma's over at the static talking to Esther."
They sat around the old pine table. Marie wondered how many secrets and arguments this table had been privy to over the years. Levi began.
"Ezra told Paul and me that he was here because of something very serious, and we weren't to tell a soul, especially Ma."
"Here we go," thought Marie. "What pile of shit did he dish out to these two?"
"He said he was here to settle an old family debt. Someone owed our father big time. If we helped him out, he would be able to give us a lot of money to help Ma."
Levi looked thoroughly miserable.
"I know I ain't very bright. I got a good job and I does it well, but it don't require too much brain power, just strong muscles, and I don't get bored doing the same thing over and over. Ezra is the clever one, so I believed what he said.
And what did he want you to do? Asked Jackman.
Steal a gun. Said the man who'd got hold of it had something to do with our father's death. He said he couldn't say much more right then, but if we got that gun away from this man, we'd be saving lives, and we'd be very well paid for doing it.
Saving lives? Asked Marie.
Levi nodded solemnly. He said the man was going to sell it to someone who wanted to kill lots of people. If we got the gun first, he couldn't sell it, could he? We'd be heroes.
All to obtain a rifle for Alistair Ashcroft's sniper.
Marie shook her head. You tried the gun club, but that was too difficult. So you broke into the man's house? I think you got carried away, didn't you? You found the gun that Ezra asked for, but you took two more, isn't that right?
Jackman said sternly.
Levi looked down at the scratched tabletop. Paul isn't good at following orders. He does what he wants and sod the rest of them. And he lost his temper with the gun cupboard because he couldn't get into the metal one. I had to drag him away. Anyway, he took an old shotgun that he swore had belonged to our granddad and a target gun because it looked cool, like one from an action comic.
Did you tell Ezra about these other guns, Levi? Asked Marie, guessing what the answer would be.
No way. We gave him the one he wanted, that scary rifle, and Paul hid the other two.
Where are they? Jackman asked.
In the root veg store. They're all wrapped up safe, like. I'll show you, shall I?
Jackman nodded.
Hand them in, and it will be 100 times better for you.
5 minutes later, they were holding Kenneth Harcourt's precious heirloom, the Dixon box-lock ejector, along with his target rifle. Both had been oiled and cleaned and were carefully wrapped and were undamaged.
Good lad, said Jackman. We'll take these now. Hopefully the owner will be understanding.
Levi stared at him with wide eyes.
What's going to happen to us?
I don't know what Ma will do without us to support her. We only just get by on me and Paul's wages. It'll kill her if we get put away.
I'm not sure yet, Levi, but try not to worry too much. Ezra is to blame for everything, and if I get my way, it'll be him who pays, not you. He frowned. Even so, you committed a serious offence, so you'll have to come down to the station and make a statement. I'm sure you'll never do anything like that again, will you? Am I right?
Never. It was totally stupid.
Levi sniffed, looking as if he were about to burst into tears.
People say we're morons. Well, maybe they're right.
Marie shook her head.
You were taken in by a con man, Levi, and you did it to help your ma. That's not being a moron, okay? I'm not saying that what you did was a good thing, but I do understand why you did it.
Looking somewhat placated, Levi went out, saying he needed to talk to Paul, who had apparently gone into meltdown. His place was taken by Robbie and Gary, who had been trying their best to calm Paul down. They had not been successful.
The kid's like an animal, sir, totally freaked out. I can't imagine how he holds down a job.
Charlie Button had him eating out of his hand last night, Marie commented. Shame he wasn't in time to join us.
She was just about to say something else when her phone rang.
Yes, Marie Evans?
She listened, ended it, and stood rooted to the spot. Marie? It was Jackman. She heard him as if from a distance. Whatever's the matter?
That was the Hull police. They effected an entry into Ezra Lorimer's static. He's dead.
What?
You mean he went home last night and killed himself?
Jackman sounded incredulous.
No, sir. Ezra Lorimer has been dead for weeks, maybe longer.
No one spoke. Then Robbie said,
Then who?
More pieces from Marie's jigsaw puzzle suddenly slotted into place. She turned to Robbie.
You won't believe this, but I think last night you and Charlie spent a pleasant half an hour in a motorhome talking to Alistair Ashcroft.
Jackman closed his eyes.
Of course.
Rachel hadn't seen Ezra for decades, maybe not since they were kids. They kept in contact by letter. Ashcroft killed Ezra and took his place.
He made use of this poor family simply to give us grief.
And to steal a sniper rifle for him,
added Marie.
And make us look like fools,
added Gary.
I think he was even more subtle, muttered Robbie. He had them steal six pigs.
Six? Why six?
The team. That's what the villains call us, innit?
Pigs?
And the horse, too, Jackman mused.
Willymore told me that Nimbus is a direct descendant of my glory, my own beautiful horse that I rode as a youngster. Ashcroft's showing me just how much he knows about me and my history.
But what about the diesel?
Gary looked puzzled.
Can't think of any message there, can you?
Not off the top of my head,
Marie gave a shrug.
But who knows? That twisted mind of his may have concocted something.
Jackman straightened up. Well, now we've assimilated that little bombshell. Let's get the motorhome sealed up and forensics down here. He's been in there for weeks. There has to be some evidence left behind. He paused. Second thoughts. Get it collected and taken back to the prof's lab for a thorough sweep. Marie, you know Rachel Lorimer. You better let her know about her cousin. And if you can, find out how such a sharp woman was deceived by an imposter. Marie sighed.
Leave it to me, boss.
Poor Rachel. Yet another of Alistair Ashcroft's casualties. Nonetheless, they were a bit closer now, and the Lorimers would be left in peace. Marie went back to the farmhouse and looked in through the window. She could see Rachel moving around inside the kitchen.
Rachel, she said, can I come in? I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you.